WABF, good morning. It is 8:23 and 83 degrees. You're with Laurie Dubose as we welcome Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan back into the studio. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Laurie.
You've been traveling a bit with the National League of Cities and some other things and haven't been able to make it lately.
I have. I was on vacation, then you were on vacation, then I was on vacation.
Oh, goodness.
So it's been a little bit since we've been together.
Yes, it has.
Glad
welcome
to be back.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
And before we get to last night's city council meeting, let's start with a new law that went into effect yesterday, and that changes the extraterrestrial or territorial jurisdiction and what the city can and can't control now 3 miles outside of the city limits. Tell us about that.
Right. So this bill was sponsored by Senator Chris Elliott, and it is a statewide bill, so it just does not only impact Baldwin County and Fairhope, it impacts the whole state. And what it basically does is it freezes your police jurisdiction. Wherever your police jurisdiction was on January 1st of this year, it freezes in place. So it will never grow with annexations or anything. Basically, you will grow into your police jurisdiction. So that's the first part of it.
Well, let me go back to that, because I've seen some comments, and I was confused too when I initially read it. So our police jurisdiction currently is 3 miles outside of the city limits.
Correct.
So police protection will continue as normal for residents 3 miles outside, up to three miles outside.
It will. I won't say that it's going to stay that way, because there is the ability for us to pull back in half-mile increments if we choose to do so. That would be in coordination with, you know, the county sheriff if we choose to do that. But right now it is at 3 miles, yes.
So that part is optional.
It is
how
optional.
You choose to enforce it.
Well, I wouldn't say that it's optional, but it gives you the ability to work with the sheriff's department and pull back if you want to. I think one reason Senator Elliott created this bill was because a lot of times it's confusing for people outside the city limits. They're like, who does my policing? Where do I get my building permits from? You know, who's my planner? You know, where do I have to go to if I'm doing a subdivision? So I think his goal was to make that easier for people. So that's also
and
what
to
we
eliminate
do.
Taxation without representation.
Well, that's what he kept saying. But
yes.
Again, I mean, we provide a lot of services outside our city limits.
Right. So that's where it gets kind of scary of what's going to continue. So police will for now, at least, and fire continues as normal.
Yeah, fire districts are not impacted by this.
Okay.
So fire will stay the same. The other thing with the police jurisdiction, your police jurisdiction and your permitting jurisdiction having that police jurisdiction is what allows your permitting jurisdiction, allows you to do building permits and tax in that area. So because you're providing the police service, so you're able to do building permits and you're able to tax in that area. So
so those continue.
The permitting will continue. For right now, the things that we're not going to be able to force outside our city limits or anything that are local laws and not state misdemeanors. So we will not be able to enforce our wetlands ordinance, our red clay ordinance, noise ordinances, sign ordinances, leash laws. There's some erosion control ordinances that we have on the books that are not state law that we will not be able to enforce. So anything that is not a state misdemeanor, we will not be able to enforce outside of our corporate limits.
Okay, so I think I understand. If it's a local ordinance or law, it's not going to be enforceable.
Correct. Outside of our corporate limits. And that was effective yesterday.
Okay. Wow, it just kind of snuck up and took us by surprise,
it did.
It seems like.
You know, government doesn't move very fast, and this was signed into law by the governor on April 27th and then, you know, went into effect on July 26th. So that does not give us a lot of time to work together with the county, because any kind of memorandum of understanding that we do with the county has to be approved by the city council, also by the planning commission, and then also by the Baldwin County Commission. So any agreement that we would put in place with them would have to go through all those layers. So the county has sent us a memorandum of understanding to talk about subdivision regulations, because in 2 years, we have a two-year window, and in 2 years, we will not be able to enforce subdivision regulations outside of our corporate limits.
So that's what I was thinking, and I said earlier in my community news, I thought some of this would have been is gradually changing.
It's gradually changing. And that was one thing Councilman Burrell and myself met with Senator Elliott as this bill was being developed, and that was one of the things that we asked for. Once we realized that this bill might really pass, because this is not something that any of the Baldwin County mayors really supported, or, you know, any of Baldwin County really supported.
Former Mayor Karen Wilson did, I think.
Current mayors.
Okay, sorry.
Yes, did not support this. So, as we were talking to Senator Elliott and doing some negotiation, that was one thing that we asked for, was a transition time. Mm-hmm. Because you have staffing that you've put in place, you have revenues that are impacted by all this, and you need that you need a time period of transition to make sure that, just to see the unintended consequences of this bill.
And what will that time period be?
2 years. Okay. We have 2 years.
Okay. So, but effective July 26th, yesterday, not these local things like the noise, the sign, the
correct.
Red clay.
Correct. And we have spent a lot of time. There's some reporting that has to happen now to the state, at the state level, from the city. So we've spent, the past month really making sure we have good reporting tools in place, like with the police, with permitting, to make sure we know what we're spending and what we're budgeting that is impactful outside of our corporate limits. So we have to report all that to the state revenue department.
Hmm. So it affects a lot more.
It does.
than on the surface.
It does. And there's a lot more to it than, when people see it, they're like, oh, well, that's not a big deal. Your police jurisdiction freezes in place. Right now, your permitting jurisdiction's there. Your planning jurisdiction, it's 3 miles. But there's a lot of other things that go along with this that you have to, that we have to take care of behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. But if you're joining us late, I always want to say extraterrestrial,
yeah.
Extraterritorial,
the ETJ,
jurisdiction.
Right.
ETJ.
And the ETJ
does not change for the police force. It's still 3 months until further notice.
Correct. And the ETJ, that really goes away. You will have no more extraterritorial jurisdiction. So it really just becomes, they call it a planning jurisdiction now.
Okay.
So you'll just have a PJ, not an ETJ.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
That'll
for
be a lot easier.
There.
For you.
Easy to remember.
Yes, a little
exactly.
easier.
Okay.
Yes.
Speaking of getting together with the county, if we can skip, since we're kind of on that topic, number 14 in the city council agenda last night, the Fairhope City Council supports the concept of a Baldwin Council recycling cooperative to work with the county and sister communities to study a feasibility study and develop a plan for productive countywide recycling. It's like recycling has always been the right thing to do for our community, but it's cost the city money, lost money, and now our provider is not available to help.
Right.
So give us an update on what do you think this might do.
So this is something Baldwin County has been planning for a while. It will be their own recycling facility that really, we'll have some skin in the game. What we'll do is if we use their facility, and at the end of the year, if they make money, then there's a possibility if we're 10% of that recycling stream that we might get some money back. If they lose money, then we might have to contribute. So they really are reaching out to all the municipalities to get this resolution of support, so they know that they have they can go after a grant, which I think they're going to go after some restore funds or go Mesa. I can't remember which one they're going to ask for to do this this MRF. But it is going to be a great thing for us because we will not have to go as far for recyclables. I mean, and again, we'll be a partner with them, a partner with the county in this project.
Does the Baldwin County Solid Waste Facility have enough space and the equipment needed to effectively absorb local municipalities' recycling as well?
Well, when they build this facility, they will.
Okay.
So they don't currently have that, but that's what this is for. And they're probably 3 years away from building it. This is just a resolution to support the concept of it, so they know that they have the buy-in of all the municipalities, and they know that they would have community partners who would use the facility.
Okay. And would it cost...
It would cost.
Told me that.
It would. It would cost us. And again, on the recycling with Escambia County that we're doing, we pay to take our recyclables there now and to Escambia County. And they're wanting us to, and they had a fire. And so now we're not able to take recyclables there. And we're getting updates from them weekly on when we'll be able to, start taking things back there again.
Right. I saw that notice, and it left me wondering, because the Baldwin County Solid Waste says on their website that their recycling services are limited due to the pandemic. So when y'all pick up our recycling and it's taken to Baldwin County Solid Waste, is it going into recycling or is it?
It is not.
That's what I was afraid
of. Not currently.
But that's temporary.
It's temporary. And again, I just want to reassure people, we have stockpiled as much as we can. We have stockpiled it so when their facility does open, but we don't have the the area to stockpile recycling either. So we probably were able to keep 2 or 3 days, and then the rest of it is having to go to the landfill right now, unfortunately.
Okay. But this is temporary, is why you really, we don't need to get out of the habit
of doing
our recycling as normal.
No. And hopefully we'll be able to update that by the end of the week. But I don't think we're not the only municipality that's being impacted by that fire in Escambia County, because really there's nowhere local to take those recyclables.
Okay. All right. Very good. We're speaking with Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan here at WABF. It is 834, 83 degrees. Let's talk about the report of the mayor. What did you include in your report, which folks can always go back and see any part of the meeting or all of it at the City of Fairhope's YouTube channel?
There were a few things that I included in my report yesterday. The first and foremost was to wish Councilman Conyers a happy birthday, because he had to lead the meeting yesterday, plus it was his birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yes. And then there are a couple other things that I mentioned. We have a couple retirements this week. James Keith, who has over 25 years in the gas department, is retiring, and Paul Merchant also, who has been in charge of our horticulture program for the past several years, is retiring. Internally, Jamie Rollins has stepped up and will take over that role, but really going to miss Paul. He's just such a great guy and has done such a great job. So
that department between Bubba Arthur Bosarge and Paul, before that, Jennifer Fiddler. Yes. It's a complete change.
It is a complete change, and it's scary because, we're known for our beautification program, so when you have that change, it's really a transition for all of us. But, I wish Paul the best, and he deserves to be able to enjoy his retirement. So I talked about that. The other thing is we did have our kickoff for our comp plan, meetings that is part of the Restore Projects. That's to update our comp plan with planning. And so we had that kickoff with just Neil Schaefer and GMC, Goodwood Mills and Kaywood, who are going to be doing that project. And you'll start seeing more information about that in September, doing some community engagement.
Okay.
People who've been here for a while, we know we did comp plan meetings, several years ago where everybody came in. We kind of prioritize what our citizens want to see. So the community engagement, or how they want our community to grow, or not grow, which some of them want,
Lori.
But this is a time to really get that citizen input on, what their vision is for Fairhope for the next 20 years or so. So this comp plan update is going to be something that we're all really looking forward to.
Okay, so, and speaking of growth, there was a public hearing number 7 to make sure that when folks are doing developments in the Central Business District, there is a minimum of 50% of the ground floor as a commercial area. That's one reason I think a lack of the commercial development was recently denied there at Magnolia and North Church. So this puts some teeth into that commercial on the bottom, residential on the top, but only 50%.
Only 50%.
Why not more?
And, Hunter did a good job explaining that last night. Because if you're going to do livable space downtown, we do require that some parking on site. If you do require parking on site, what we're finding is people are just building up and wanting to put parking underneath and no retail space.
I see.
Well, retail is what drives folks downtown. You want people living downtown too, but when we started doing mixed use downtown, it was about having a balance. And when people just want to come in and build 25 apartments on a small piece of property or 25, livable units, it's really not what we talked about, what we wanted, the vision that we had, the city had when they started talking about mixed use.
Had to put some teeth into that ordinance.
So 50%. It's never been 100%. They do recommend, they can make recommendations, but this gives it some teeth.
So that way you can have shops on the bottom floor and parking. I wasn't thinking about parking being included in that footage. But, okay.
Right.
Okay.
We have parking and businesses.
What kind of public response?
We didn't get anybody speak on a public hearing last night, which I was surprised that nobody spoke on that. But again, for people who people who are developing downtown. I mean, they're really good, you know, the developers who are coming downtown. They're usually really good about working with our planning department and understand the concept of mixed use. But we did not have anybody speak about it. It has been discussed, obviously, at the Planning Commission level, mm-hmm. too. So,
and what about the number six, the public hearing that would change and amend the zoning ordinance for the CBD or Central Business District downtown to allow short-term rentals like the Airbnb and VRBO?
Right. And we just had some of those in our zoning laws. There was just some language in there that excluded some of the zoning, like B4. So they just wanted to make sure in all of the CBD that regardless of what your zone, that you're able to do Airbnb.
But those of us in R1 and R2 cannot.
Correct.
Are y'all going to look at readdressing that now that it is such a popular thing?
It is on my desk, okay. In draft format to look at. I know that it has been discussed. We haven't taken any action. I don't even think the council has really looked at it. I just had one of the staff members who wanted to possibly look at it and made some notes. But we haven't talked about that. I do think that, you know, I think there's mixed emotions about that because I know I live in an area, a residential area, and don't like the idea of people just coming in and out next door to me.
Right.
And that's happened before next door to me. And, you know, just people don't feel safe when they have their kids and their families there and then people mm-hmm. are in and out. You know, if it's a short-term rental and it's 30 days, then that's one thing. I think, you know, but just having people in and out every week, I don't think that, you know, most people who live in a residential area, that's not what they move there for.
Right. Well, the current definition for the city is 30 days or more.
Correct.
Order to be able to rent your place, so that eliminates.
And you could still have 12 people in and out at that, 30 days or 11 mm-hmm. people or whatever, 30 days or more, but because you can do it every month. But again, having those people who would just come in for the weekend or a week's rental, I think that is something that, you know, really needs to be discussed before any of that's changed.
Okay. All right. So no Airbnb or VRBO. Unless you live in the Central Business District or one of the
some tourist districts.
Okay, yes. All right. Very good. What else? Oh, let's see. Number 11. We're having trouble getting contractors. The Arts Alley Downtown Transit Hub.
Right.
The bid rejected. Again, and we had that same trouble with the pier. Are we still having that same trouble with the dock?
Right, we are. You know, everybody's just so busy. And so we are trying to, you know, reach out to other parts of the state and, you know, other areas and find these contractors. We did have 8 people come to the pre-bid meeting on that project, and then only one submitted a bid. Because it is federal highway funds or federal transit funds, you know, we just felt best, and the Eastern Shore MPO felt best that we just go ahead and rebid that project. Mm-hmm. You know, most, even our city council doesn't like to just get one bid. You know, you want to make sure whatever you're doing is competitive and that mm-hmm. you're getting a good price. So we are going to be rebidding that.
And what about doing some of this work in-house? Y'all actually regrouped and decided to repair the utility tray and the utilities on the Fairhope Pier in-house because contractors wanted $250,000-$300,000 to do it. Y'all did it for around less under $50,000. What about looking at more in-house stuff?
We can look at more in-house stuff, but some of it depends on, like, for instance, the pier project. If we would have had to get on a boat or a small barge to do that project, we were able to take the railing down from the pier and do that from the pier. You have to get maritime insurance. And there's a lot of factors that play into these projects that could,
government,
especially like the docks,
tape, yeah.
Like the docks, you have to be really careful when you're dealing with anything near a marina. So, you know, you have to make sure you have the licensed folks to do it. And mm-hmm. if you hire an outside contractor, to be honest, it takes that liability away from the city mm-hmm. somewhat. I mean, we always have a liability, but if you have an outside contractor, it's a turnkey project, you release yourself of some of that liability. But the other thing on this project, the alleyway project, it's a grant project, so we would not do any work there.
And isn't it partially with the county as well?
Well, the Eastern Shore MPO.
Okay.
But those are federal dollars.
And the Arts Alley, we're talking about the alley that runs off of North Church behind the old Fairhope Hardware, the Bone and Barrel, the Chamber, those businesses. next to the parking garage, making that more beautified and artsy and encouraging more use for
changing the traffic flow, putting a restroom facility there, which will be a transit hub so brats can use it as a drop-off, changing the surfacing to just make it more appealing and really encourage people to park there and to use that as a gathering area. You know, obviously we've talked about before having the shuttle, single tax. I've met with them and hopefully they're going to be part of this project and help with some of the art components.
Yeah, Jack says we've already got the shuttle approved. The golf carts
it's on
the way
order.
And then you'll be able to shuttle folks
That's
around.
Correct.
What about an outdoor art project to paint the parking garage itself?
We are working with Single Tax to do some art components. They've actually got a proposal from Bruce Larson to do some work. So I don't know if that right now does not include painting the exterior of the parking deck, but I'm not saying that it couldn't at some given point in time. There will be probably some art murals and some sculpture throughout that plaza, but right now it does not include painting the parking deck.
Okay. Looks like a lot of items on here are budgeted, trucks, bush hog, etc. But I saw an interesting one. Where was it? The one on the ammunition.
Right.
Where did that go? I thought
it's
I highlighted that.
Number 23.
Ah, there we go.
23.
A resolution for the city to approve the procurement for 9mm ammunition budgeted for 2022 because there is an 8 to 10 month waiting period on ammunition.
Right. I think anybody who's tried to buy ammunition knows that there's a shortage right now. So yes, we had went ahead and did that, knowing that it's going to be in the 22 budget to go ahead and get that on order for the police department.
Okay. And what else, Sherry?
I think there was probably two things that I would want to mention. One of them was that we approved a boundary survey for the Triangle property.
What does that mean?
A boundary survey, just go ahead and getting a boundary survey to start moving forward with that. The next thing would be a topo and then a forestry management plan. On the work session, there was also talk with the Fairhope Environmental Advisory Board about how we'd move forward with that project as far as doing, putting some deed restrictions on there, dedicating it as park lands, working in conjunction with Fairhope Single Tax to be able to do that. And when you do that, you put some layers on there to protect that property. Because when you do a conservation easement, and, lawyers have a problem with the word perpetuity, so they never want to do anything into perpetuity. So this allows us, if we partner with Single Tax to do this quick claim deed where we are in the room together, we put some deed restrictions on it, transfer it to Single Tax, transfer it right back to the city. That's been challenged, like with the bluffs. We know that we can protect that as parklands. So what that will do when we do that is it will, if we have a city council, 25 years down the road that want to do something with that triangle and develop it, then it would have to go through our city council, it would have to go to the Single Tax board, and then it would, be a vote of the people to decide how, if they wanted that not to be a park or not. So really important to us to be able to preserve that as green space for future generations.
I don't know. Aren't we running out of space for improvements like a state-of-the-art civic center and other facilities, or will the K-1 Center take that place?
That's what we're hoping is the K-1 Center. That was the other thing that was added to the agenda last night, was a resolution with Baldwin County EDA to, we have been talking about a grant, an EDA grant for a long time that's part of the disaster. It's part of the American Rescue Plan now, but with disaster funds. So it opens up these EDA grants that are an 80-20 match. Typically, they're 50-50. So what we would do is Hatch and the City of Fairhope would renovate with the grant monies, would renovate the front portion of that building to salvage that, to move entrepreneurs in there, to move Hatch in there. And then the back part of that campus, our vision, the city's vision is, at least mine and a couple of the council folks that I've talked to, is to build a performing arts center on the back of that campus.
And well, you've had a lot of public input also requesting that.
Yes, yeah. There's a lot of people who are looking forward to that. And I keep calling it, maybe it's going to be a cultural and innovation center or something, because we have FEEF that's going to be there with their STEAM center. And then you have Hatch, and then the Performing Arts Center could possibly all be on that campus.
How do you all keep up with all these acronyms?
It's a lot.
What's
it's
EDA? Environmental Development Association.
Economic Development Association.
Economic Development Association.
Baldwin County Economic Development Association.
Okay. Of course, FEEF, Fairhope Educational Enrichment Foundation. STEAM is
Science, Technology, Engineering, Arts, and Math.
Ta-da! Yeah. Okay. All right. So, well, that sounds good.
Yes. So there's a lot going on.
As always.
Yeah, as always,
we
which is
have
good.
It any other way.
That's right. That's right. The way we like it. Keeps everybody busy.
I know as soon as we turn off the microphones, we'll think of something we forgot. Let's get an update on the working waterfront and the ADA compliance. Or is there one to have yet?
There is not an update to have yet. What I will tell you what we've done is, you know, obviously we hired an outside consultant to come in and give us a review of that project. And we have his report. We have also asked ACDNR, another acronym there for you, Lori.
What's that one for?
Alabama Conservation Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, who oversees the RESTORE projects. We have asked them to, once these projects are in the design phase, they have to go to the Treasury Department to be able to be reviewed before they come back to you, before you can bid out the package. Mm-hmm. So we've asked them to go ahead and submit our plan to make sure it meets all compliance, because our fear is that we build something, it's not compliant, or there's a problem with it, and then we build it and then we have to pay for it. We have to give the grant funds back.
Right.
So we're working on that approval now before we move forward with anything. So everything's still in the discussion phases, specifically the ADA portion of this. And so we're actually going to have a meeting later this week to hopefully talk with the engineers again and talk with ACDNR.
Jack Burrell, Fairhope City Council President, actually mentioned last time he was here that he and y'all would be considering the possibility of another moratorium on commercial development and or an ordinance that might help, such as the ordinance to require in the CBD the commercial downstairs. Do you see the possibility of a moratorium again? He said there really wasn't many changes done in the ordinances during that time under the previous administration, and he thought it might be time to look again.
You know, I think there are some things that we could certainly do during a moratorium. I think if we were going to do one, this would be a good time, because we are doing the comp plan update. So I think that gives us time to look at things that need to be revised and make those revisions. I'm not so sure that just the CBD, you know, is where you do it. I think there would have to be a lot more conversation before we even move forward. But there is a lot of development going on, and we have a lot of infrastructure upgrades that we're going through right now. It's, you know, I mean, you're going to, in by mid-August, you're going to see Church Street here.
Right.
You're going to see that project move forward. And then we've had Section Street, and there's probably five or six developments slated for downtown, and then the Arts Alleyway. So there's a lot going on. So to put a halt on things, I don't think is a bad idea. But again, there's got to be a lot of conversation before that happens.
Okay, very good. Anything else?
That's all.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan here at WABF, the second and fourth Tuesday generally, following Fairhope City Council meetings. If you missed part of this or want to tell a friend, you can listen later. WABF1480.com.